hear the word of the Lord together. The writer of Hebrews writes for us under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline, because God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we ask your blessing on your word, and we just pray that you'd open your word to our hearts this morning, open our ears and minds to hear and to receive from you, and give us understanding of your word today and how it applies to our heart, that we may live as men and women of God in this day. Equip us and nourish us by your word, that through this week ahead of us, we may be enabled to live more effectively for you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Back when I was in junior high school, I think it was in eighth grade, I was not that much of a problem kid. I was pretty much compliant. But I had a problem sometimes of talking when I shouldn't. Can you believe that? And so I was talking in class. I remember, I think it was eighth grade. I don't even remember what class it was, but I was talking in class, and the teacher wanted to make an example of me and the couple people that we were talking to. And I guess he was kind of agitated that we were talking and not paying attention to him. So he had me stand up in front of the class along with the two other guys that we were talking to, had me hold my arms out straight like this. Then he put a heavy bunch of books on my arms and told me that I had to hold my hands out like that for 5 minutes. And if my hands came down and I dropped the books, he was going to get the paddle out and let us have it. Times have changed, haven't they? They sure wouldn't do that now, but times have changed. Believe me, I had a motivation for holding those books up. I had a motivation. The discipline gave me motivation, and I learned, don't ever talk when the teacher's talking. Discipline has an advantage in our life. It may be painful, and it may be unpleasant at the time, but it has a purpose. Today, as we come to this portion of the book of Hebrews, the writer is teaching us about the value of embracing discipline in our lives. Discipline is not something we would welcome. Is there anybody here that would hold their hand up and say, I welcome discipline? None of us would. And the picture of the drill sergeant here, going into the military, I never was, but those of you that were and went through basic training know how the drill sergeant's in your face and then instill discipline in you so that you become what you need to be and have the training that you need. It always has a benefit to it. But the writer of Hebrews reminds us in this, as we pick up the series, that the struggle, and we see in verse 4, your struggle against sin is not, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And he's reminding them to remember that these believers were being persecuted for their faith. They were experiencing adversity. They were experiencing trials. They were going through hardship. And he's reminding them, as difficult as hardship is and as trials are, that our struggle against sin is greater than our struggle against adversity. And why is that? Because our struggle against sin is something that you and I have control over. The decisions that we make and the choices that we make and the temptations that come our way, if we choose wrongly, that's our fault, not anybody else's, right? Where oftentimes adversities and trials that come our way are things that happen to us beyond out of our control. And so because our struggle against sin is something all of us face every day, we need that discipline in our life. We need that discipline to help remind us and to instruct us where we need to be. We naturally balk at it, but the writer of Hebrews is saying discipline is something that you and I should welcome and we should embrace. And we want to look briefly into the Word of God this morning and discover three basic principles why we should embrace discipline and why it is good for us. Remember whenever you were a parent, and maybe you said this to your child whenever you were disciplined, you said, it's good for you. You know, just like eating your vegetables, you know, it's good for us. And even though the writer says it's not pleasant at the time. First reason why we need to embrace discipline is because discipline's a sign of love. Discipline means love. If you love your child, you're going to discipline them, right? Parents that don't discipline their children and let them run wild, they don't really love them as they should. Discipline shows the love. Verse 6 says, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you. Verse 6 says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. It shows when we are disciplined by God, it shows how much he actually cares for us. It shows that he really does care because he wants what's best for us. He loves us too much to leave us in our sin. When we mess up and when we make a mistake and when we choose wrongly, he loves us too much to leave us there. And he disciplines us whatever he has to do to bring us back and to that point where we deal with it, where we make it right, because he doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. Why as parents and grandparents do you discipline your children and grandchildren? You don't want them to touch the hot stove. Why? Because you don't want them to get hurt, right? And God disciplines us so that we don't hurt ourselves. So that we, his love is shown. He wants us to be the best that we can be. And parents who love their children will discipline them and put discipline on them so that they can learn to be the best that they can be. And that's how it is for God with us. It's administered in love. God's discipline for us is always administered in love. And we can trust him in that because he's a loving, good father, isn't he? And he does what is best for us. He wants us to learn how to grow up and be responsible. That's why parents discipline their children so they can learn how... so that children can learn up how to grow up and be a responsible adult. And it takes that discipline to help us. It's the same in our spiritual life too. Unless God disciplines us in love when we fall into sin, we won't grow to where we need to be. Discipline is grounded in love. And if a parent doesn't discipline their children, they don't truly love them as they should. Discipline is also a sign of love because it's meant to be an encouragement. He says, have you forgotten here the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? God's discipline to us is a sort of while he's encouraging us. It's a way he encourages us to be and to grow in our faith. So he says, don't balk at it. Don't reject it. Don't make light of it. But when God has to spank us sometimes, spiritually. It says in John chapter 15 that the Lord will prune us. Just as a gardener prunes a rose bush or a plant. And what's the purpose of pruning it? Why does a gardener prune the plant? To make it more fruitful and productive, right? It's hurtful to the plant at the time, but it has a long benefit. And the same with God. When God has to discipline us because of our disobedience, it's always in love. And so it shows you how much he cares for you. It shows you how much he loves you. So he says, don't reject it, but welcome it and embrace it. Secondly, Discipline needs to be embraced in our life because it's a seal of ownership. It's a seal of ownership and shows and proves that we actually belong to the Father. He says in verse 7 through 9, endure hardship as discipline because God is treating you as what? As his son or as his daughter, as his child. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And he said, if you were not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and you're not true sons. Discipline's a sign of ownership because it proves that we are his child. It shows that when you're disciplined by God, you belong to him. Because administering discipline is a parent's job, right? You don't discipline someone else's children. You don't have that authority. Now, there may be times, there's been times, I confess to you, but I've been out in a store, in a grocery store or a store somewhere, and these kids are running wild. They're screaming. They're out of control. You ever been there where you're out somewhere public, you see these out-of-control kids, and they're screaming. They're running all over the place, maybe at a restaurant, and they don't know how to behave. And I would love to go up and to tell those kids to behave, but I don't have that authority. I don't have the right to discipline them, and neither do you. The only one that has the right to discipline those children are who? The parents. And so it is in our life as believers. When you experience the discipline of God on you, or I, when we experience that because of our sin and disobedience, because we have chosen wrongly, embrace it and experience it. It's coming from love, and it shows that you belong to God. And God, as a child of God, has the right to discipline us. It proves that we belong to him. Scripture says, if God doesn't discipline you as all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all, as it says in Hebrews. It also demonstrates that we're under authority. Because you can't discipline someone unless you have authority to do so. Just as we don't have the authority to discipline someone else's child, God has authority to discipline us because he's our father. As a parent and or a grandparent, you have authority to discipline your children, your grandchildren. You have that authority. A teacher or authority can be given to you by the parents. When a teacher's teaching in school, he or she has authority granted to them to bring discipline. Or parents can grant this authority to you. Just as our dear friend Kat and Tyler, and you know many of you know them, and Eli, our adopted grandson, and Lucy. But there's been times that Eli's been with us, and we've been given the authority to discipline him if we need to. But that authority has to be given to you. And it says here that when we're disciplined, God has that authority over us. We all respected our fathers for it, but he said we respected them for it. He says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? The submission to God's authority. And he has the right as our father. And it demonstrates that we are under him as our Lord. So embrace discipline when it comes our way. Not that we welcome it, not that we want it, but it shows you that God is your father who loves you. And he wants what's best. And third, discipline is a source of growth. When he disciplines you, if you look at that word discipline, you see another word that's kind of right in that same word. Do you see the word disciple in there? Because the word discipline and disciple actually share the same root. And in order to become a disciple, a follower of Christ, sometimes it takes discipline. It takes the spiritual disciplines of the word and prayer. But sometimes it takes God's discipline of us to make us who we need to be. Discipline is unpleasant and painful, but it has a purpose. The purpose of God's discipline is not to punish. I want to remember, write this down. This is a good statement, and it comes from Jerry Bridges. It says that the purpose of God's discipline is not to punish, but to transform us. And that's a powerful statement. If you don't remember anything else from this morning, Remember that statement in principle, because his purpose for you and I is not to punish us, but to transform us, to make us more like himself. And how that happens is through the process of discipline. Verse 10 says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. It doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but painful, but rather later on it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Discipline's a source of growth because it's corrective. God uses discipline to correct our wrong behavior. Just as a parent, whenever your child makes a wrong choice or inappropriate behavior, you use discipline to correct that behavior. God uses discipline to correct our wrong behavior as well, so that we live in accordance and obedience to his word. When we are disobedient to God, we can expect his discipline to come. Let me illustrate it to you this way, and how God does that, and how he corrects us. Say if you're having dinner, or you're having dinner and your parents, and you're with your kids, or I would have dinner at home with my parents, and you're acting up, or the kids are acting up, maybe as a parent, the first thing you would do is give your kids, misbehaving kids, a look. Do you ever get that look? Or as a kid, do you ever get that look? You know, and you get the look, you know, maybe your spouse can even give you that look at times. You know, you get that look, and that's the first thing. And maybe that look's designed to correct our wrong behavior, but if we still ignore that, maybe they'll take it a next step, and they might shout our name a little bit louder and try to get our attention to correct the behavior. I knew I was in trouble whenever I got, "Daniel Todd!" You know, when you get that middle name, you know, your mother means business. And sometimes God will give us that look by the Spirit, and then sometimes he'll shout our name and get more, and so that we can hear and say he's trying to get our attention, he's trying to get us back in line. But when we don't heed the look or heed our name being shouted, what happens then? Sometimes it's taken to another level, and that's where the physical punishment comes in, maybe sent to the room or whatever. And God uses that same process on us to correct us so that we will be walking in obedience. It's corrective, but it's also instructive. Because as a loving parent disciplines their child, yes, they'll take the discipline off, and a good parent will take their child aside. And I've seen my brother-in-law do this many times with his kids. And when he would discipline, he'd take them off to the side and tell them and explain to them, this is why and what you need to learn from it and how you are to behave. And God uses discipline to instruct us so we know how to live in a way that honors him. So that we learn, so we're taught by it, so we're taught that certain lessons can only be learned by discipline, and through that we learn. But discipline is also growth related because it's restorative. The whole purpose of discipline is so that we are restored back to where we need to be, so that we are living in a way that God wants of us. Let me illustrate this with something that I'm pretty familiar with, and is I'm privileged to serve our denomination on the Board of Examiners. And the Board of Examiners, what we are, is a group of pastors that have been chosen for a difficult role in some ways. We are to credential people, the guys that are coming into the ministry, to examine their doctrine and make sure they're doctrinally sound and make sure they're living in their life in integrity. But sometimes we have a difficult role we got to do. Nothing that none of us enjoy, but it's necessary. Sometimes pastors go, as we use the phrase, off the rails. And things may happen in their life, in moral failures or something, and they have to come before us, and we have to administer discipline. Many times their license or ministry may be taken from them at that point. They may be asked to step down from the church, but always in that time, as we go through that process and administer discipline, Our end result, our goal is restoration. Because our God is a God of grace, isn't he? He's holy, but at the same time, he restores the fallen. And aren't you thankful for that? That we, when we all fall into our sin, God can restore us and bring us back. And discipline should be administered in a way, and God administers it to us in a way to bring us back to that point of restore and restoration. And that's the kind of God we have. Praise God for his grace. But discipline is also formative. That its purpose is to conform us into the image of Jesus. And to produce, as it says here, a harvest of righteousness in our life. So that Christ will be formed in us. He uses discipline to conform us to him so that he will be formed in us. He is making disciples through discipline. So no discipline is pleasant at the time. I didn't enjoy holding those books up there. And I had a motivation, though, and I learned. And I learned the lesson, don't talk while the teacher's talking. God uses a discipline to teach us and to mold us to become more like him. He does it because he loves you. It's a sign of his love. It's a seal that you belong to him, but only he has that authority as our Father to discipline us. And it's a source of growth that through discipline we become more like him. So in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted the point of shedding your blood, but don't forget the word of encouragement. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline, because he disciplines those he loves. It's not pleasant at the time, but he is treating us as his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. And you love us so much as our Father that you are good and you work everything out for the good in us. And that when we do, in our struggle against sin, fail, you love us too much to let us there. And you lovingly apply discipline in our life to bring us back to you, to restore us, to correct us so that we don't make that same choice again, so we don't take that same path. And Lord, you administer to us in love. You want us, and it shows us how much you love us. And Lord, you have the authority as our Father to discipline us. And when that happens, we should not get angry with you, but rejoice that you're treating us as your son and as your daughter, as a loving parent to their children. And Lord, you provide that as a source of growth in our life, that we may be conformed more into your likeness, that we will be restored back and learn what you want us to learn, and to live, be the kind of people that you want us to be. So Lord, may we not make light of your discipline. May we embrace it, receiving it from you, from your loving hand, as a loving Father who cares deeply for us. Lord, may we walk in a way in obedience to you, that we don't have to experience that discipline. But in those times when we are disobedient, we can expect it, because you love us too much to leave us in our sin. So thank you, Lord, for being a loving, good Father, and for making us disciples through the process of discipline. And we ask this in Jesus' prayer, in Jesus' name, amen.